We picked the title Pursuing Holiness because it's one that we don't typically talk about a lot. We know holiness, we know what it means. We'll talk about some of the definitions in scripture, what holiness means. I wouldn't be telling you anything new that you don't know. But when it comes to how we apply it to ourselves, I think we're a little short on, at least I am. Again, keep in mind when I say we, I'm talking a lot about what's going on in my head. Short about how these applies to us for various reasons. The dictionary defines holy, the word holy, as exalted or worthy of complete devotion, as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. It defines it as having divine qualities. And in everyday use, this is how the word is used. It's about God, basically. For us as Christians, the word holy is central to our faith. And it is central to the practice of our faith. Generally, our belief in God is very much reflected in the way that the word is defined. As the word is defined in dictionary. In other words, God is exalted. And he's worthy of complete devotion because he is perfect. He is perfect in goodness and in righteousness. So he is holy. Everything about God is holy. And when we think of holiness, God is a likely image that probably comes to most of us when we think about it. God is the ultimate image of holiness. It is therefore not surprising that we have difficulty in applying that to ourselves. In part, our association of the word holy with God makes it difficult to make it a label that you would assume that we would want to go by. I'm yet to run into any brother or sister that introduces themselves as the holy brother so-and-so. If you see one, let me know. But it's one of those things that we just don't do. If anything, we retreat from any impression that might cast us as holy. Because we don't want it, it's more a matter of humility, quite frankly. So it's a positive in some sense. But it's not uncommon, however, to note that we refer to others as being holy. We can't see holiness in others, but we typically don't see it in ourselves. For me, that's one of the reasons this question started, why we don't take full embrace of this word. The scripture talks about us being holy. And that we should be holy as the Father is holy. Yet humility demands that we're not to consider ourselves holy, and we don't want to come across to others as being holier than thou. What does it mean then to be holy? What does it mean? Because the scripture is replete with that call to be holy. It is vital to our Christian walk to clarify what scripture says about holiness and to put it differently. Could we be functioning below our potential? Could we be doing less than enough if we don't truly appreciate the need for holiness? That really is the crux of the conversation. If we must be holy, we have to embrace the idea of holiness. Brother Bob, earlier on in his talk about the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit is given to us for very specific reasons, one of which to make us holy. And so if we have to embrace that holiness, we have to fully understand it. We have to raise our consciousness about this, what it means to be holy, to embrace the idea of holiness. While the word only means one thing in the English language, over time it's sort of become defined as referring to God in the English language. There are three Greek words that come to mind in the New Testament. And we want to quickly talk about all three of them, but one of them especially is more commonplace than others. While these are three different words, in fact, in the New Testament, in the Greek, when you look at the uses of those words, they have a unifying sense because it's still talking about the same thing. So in essence, just because one word is used more often with the brethren doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't relate to the other words that are used with God. The first word is Strong's 2413, Hebrews. It's used only twice, and it gives us very clearly what how you might want to interpret that word. It's used in 2 Timothy 3:15. It means sacred. It means to be consecrated to God or pertaining to God. Therefore, it's devoutly, it's about devout reverence. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul uses this word to describe the Holy Scriptures that Timothy grew up learning. I'm sure you're familiar with that text, where he says, "And from your childhood, you have known the sacred writings, or the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The only other use of this word is in 1 Corinthians 9:13. In 1 Corinthians 9:13, we read, "Do you not know that those who perform sacred services or holy things eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar?" And the word there is sacred services or holy things, I think in the King James it says. So this word, this one word that's translated holy in the King James is only used twice, and it refers to sacred things, the Holy Scriptures, and the things in the temple. The second word is Strong's 3741, and it's Hosea's. I never know how to say those words, but bear with me. 3741, Strong's 3741 is used about 8 times in the New Testament, and it generally has a meaning of being undefiled by sin, that we are free from wickedness, free from evil. It relates to religious piousness, to be pious. This word is used by Paul when he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:8, asking men of various ecclesia to pray, lifting up their holy hands, to pray with pure hearts. Then in Titus 1:8, he uses that same word, holy, to refer to the qualities, or devout, the qualities an elder should have. So, on one hand, that word is describing holy hands, and then on the other hand, it's defining the quality of an elder. So you could see the bandwidth in which that word could be used. But the same word is used to describe the Lord as a high priest who is holy and undefiled in Hebrews 7:26. Finally, that word is also used in Revelation 15:14, which refers to our Heavenly Father, when it reads, this is Revelation chapter 15, verse 14, maybe that's verse 4, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So again, in that use of that second word, you could see the range. The range of application is in the few occurrences that we just cited between the Timothy text, the Titus text, Hebrews text, and the Revelations text. We see that the words used to apply to elders, it was used to apply to our Lord, and certainly used to apply to our Heavenly Father in the Revelation text, which concludes that the Jehovah alone is holy. It's awful confusing, you would agree, when you have that range and then there's a conclusion like the Revelation text that Jehovah alone is holy. So no question why we would be reticent in claiming the title of being holy. The third word that we want to spend some time on in the Greek Testament is used more generally. It's used more liberally. And it's used about 268 times, a little over 250 times. In the New Testament. And I say variously used because it's used, this word comes as a verb, noun, and as an adjective. So it's used very well in the New Testament to define holiness in many respects. And these are Strong's 37, 38, and 40. Those are the numbers, Strong's numbers, 37, 38, and 40. These have the meaning of being separate from profane things. It's like being sanctified. We know that word well. As being dedicated to God, free from guilt or sin, and purifying internally or by renewing of our soul. And so Strong's 37 is the verb, and that refers to, it's an action word. Be holy, for example, would be a translation that would be Strong's 37. Strong's 38 is a noun, and it's used about 10 times, that would talk about holiness or sanctification. The word sanctification will come from that. And of course, the last word is the adjective, which is it qualifies the nouns mostly, is Strong's 40, which is used over 200 times. And this is where the word holy, holy saints, Holy Spirit comes from. And so we could see why there's more use of the adjective. In Revelation 22:11, we read, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. So that last line there, the one who is holy, Strong's 40, still keep himself holy, Strong's 37. So the word's used very liberally. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8, we're not going to read the whole thing, but starting with verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it reads, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," and that's the word, "that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." Jumping down to verse 7, it reads, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." In other words, he's called us in holiness. "For he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." So every time Paul opens a letter, when he's writing a letter, when he opens the letter, he always uses the word to refer to the brethren. He uses the word holy to refer to the brethren. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul writes to the church of God, which is at Corinth, "To those who have been sanctified," and that's the word, "in Christ Jesus, saints, holy ones, by calling, with all who are in every place call on, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." To basically paraphrase that opening that Paul just introduced his letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Unto the church of God in Corinth, to the ones that have been made holy in Christ, the ones that are called holy ones." And he uses the word holy 9 times in Ephesians, referring to the brethren as saints. And you're familiar with them, but I want to touch on a number of them. And the reason we're trying to touch on all of this is to sensitize us to the word holy and how pervasive it is in reference to us and our walk. Ephesians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints, the holy ones, who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus." And it's not, these are names that he calls them, holy ones. He's not saying you will be holy, even though there is text that talks about that. But he's assuming up front, and we'll talk about why that's important. Ephesians 1:18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, in the holy ones." Ephesians 2:19, "So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." And then finally, in Ephesians 3:8, says, "To me, the least of all saints," or the least of all holy ones, "this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles at the unfathomable riches of Christ." Paul is talking about the body members of Christ. He calls us saints, holy ones, holy brethren, holy nation. Evidently from 1 Corinthians 1:2, we are made holy through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so right there we need to establish the fact that it is not us making ourselves holy. It's been established. We've been called into this. This is what we have bought into as Christians. We have been sanctified. I believe it's a text in Hebrews 10:10 that tells us that by this we have been sanctified, or we've been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So when you recall, when we kind of go back on the three words that we just shared with you that are translated holy in the New Testament, these three words together define what holiness would mean in the New Testament. Notice especially how as Christians,